things around on the stage. So while I'm moving things, will you guys turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 to 33? There's nothing up on the screen today, so you're gonna need it if you want to look at something other than me, of course. Just as a disclaimer, Jesus called Peter to walk on the water. And unless Jesus is calling you, I don't suggest you try this at home, because you might drown. Now that I've got that out of the way, Matthew chapter 14, as Jeffrey read from it earlier, verses 22 through 33. I'm reading in the New King James, so it'll be slightly different, but you'll have a nice comparison there. Is everybody hearing me in the back? Okay, good. Immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now when evening came, he was alone there. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It's a ghost." And they cried out for fear. Will you join me in prayer? Lord Jesus, what I speak is simply words that have no avail unless your Spirit moves through them. Unless you open the hearts and the minds of your children here today, my words will accomplish nothing. So I pray, speak through me and accomplish what you will today and not what I will. In Jesus' name, amen. The first question I ask myself when I read this passage is, why was Jesus not afraid? And maybe you think, well, that's a dumb question. Of course, he's one with God. Or maybe you just say what my youth members say, well, he's Jesus. Come on, he's perfect, you know. Yeah, but seriously, why was Jesus not afraid? He's out there walking on the water in the storm, the wind and the waves, and he's out there, and he's not scared. And you got to think here for a second. Now, Jesus is fully God. Yes, we get that. But he's also fully man, so somewhere in the midst of his manliness, he's walking on water. It gives me reason to believe, you know, maybe there's a little reason to be scared. I mean, that whole you could drown and die thing. Have you guys ever walked on water? Show of hands. I haven't. But when it's storming outside, it's scary even when you're in the boat. So, you know, I asked this question, okay, why wasn't Jesus afraid? I mean, he's walking on the stormy sea like a walk in the park. It's just like, oh, that's what I do. You walk in the park, I walk on the sea, you know, something like that. But he's not scared, and the scripture gives no reference of any fear in his life at all at this moment. And so you ask the question, or I ask the question, why is Jesus not afraid? I think Jesus wasn't afraid because he had great faith in God. And maybe it's kind of weird to think of Jesus having faith in God because he is one with God. But no, Jesus had faith in God. He had a relationship with God. And he knew that God was so big and so strong that he could walk on the storm and not drown and not sink, and had no reason to be afraid because God was bigger than the storm. Just like God is bigger than the storm you are currently going through, just came out of, or going into. Seemingly in everyone's life, it's always one of three phases. You just got out of a storm, you're just going into one, or you're in the middle of it. Where are you this morning? I'm not really sure where I am. I feel like I finished a storm, started one, and I'm ending one all at the same time. But where are you? And is God bigger than your storm? You could say, yeah, he's bigger, but in your heart, do you believe it? And do you trust it? So Jesus isn't afraid because he has great faith in God. What makes Jesus' faith so great in God? Let's read again from 22 and 23. Immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now, when evening came, he was alone there. Jesus got away from everybody. He sent the multitude away. He sent his disciples in the boat, sent them away. He goes up on a mountainside to be alone and pray. He understands that faith is based on intimacy. He understood that if he wanted to continue having such a close relationship with God, having an intimate connection, he had to get away. He had to pray, and he had to be alone with his Father, just like you. And because of that intimate relationship that Jesus had with his Father, he had great faith. And why wouldn't you? If you spend personal one-on-one time with the God of the universe, you're going to have great faith. It's a natural byproduct. It's a bonus. You have a relationship, you get great faith. So Jesus isn't afraid. He's walking on water because he spent time with, he spent time with God. And this intimacy he has with God is what drove him through his ministry on earth and what drives him to want a personal, intimate time and relationship with you, because God's a relational being, and he wants that. But when we use the word intimacy, normally it's followed with another word. Does anyone know what that is? Any guess? Someone says, well, that's be intimate with Christ, and it's always followed with a but, a huge but. What about this? And we're all somewhat scared of intimacy, women and men alike, because what does it mean to really be intimate with Christ? Verses 24 through 31, but there it is again, but, Jesus being intimate with Christ, but the boat was now in the middle of the sea. That's kind of how it looks for us. We know we need to be intimate with Christ, but have you seen the storm going on in my life? Is what we say. Can you see what's going on? I don't have time for that. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now on the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It's a ghost." And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come out to you on the water." So he said, "Come." And when Peter had come down out of the boat and walked on the water to go to Jesus, when he saw the wind was boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" You see, Peter had faith. He had quite a bit of faith. As a matter of fact, he had so much faith. He sees Jesus out there. He doesn't even really recognize him fully, but he sees him out there and he says, "If it is you, Jesus, call me out on the water." So Jesus says, "Come." So today, you get to be Jesus. So Jesus says, "Come." You stand up right there and say, "Come." So Peter's like, "Okay, it's Jesus. He said, come, let's walk on the water." You know, Jesus says, "Peter, you have little faith. Why did you doubt?" But Peter did have faith, just like many of you have faith. He had so much faith. In fact, he jumped out of the boat. He let go of the side of the boat, and he walked on the water. Really, this really happened. It's not just a story. He walked on the water, but somewhere in between the boat and Jesus, fear got the best of him. The waves got too big. Things got too hard. He realized the floor was sinking. It was wet, and he started to sink. Thank you, Jesus. That's later. I haven't started sinking yet. He jumps out of the boat and he lets go. And you know that he's far enough from the boat because he can't grab back on. He committed to walking on water. But why did he sink? What happened between there, the boat edge, and Jesus? What happened? Well, one, he took his eyes off of Jesus because he paid more attention to the storm, which is our tendency. Things get rough and we pay attention to that more than we do to Jesus. But in verse 30, we see that the wind and the waves, he was afraid, he starts to sink, and I wonder, is this happening to you now? Do you have that little bit of faith, so much so that you jumped out of the boat? You've been walking on water for a little while. You've been out there trusting Jesus. Things have gotten hard and you've started to sink. Or maybe you didn't even get out of the boat. Maybe it was too scary, and so you just stayed in the boat, being called out on the water and sitting in the boat. I don't know what your situation is, but I do know that Peter lacked intimacy with Christ. And because he lacked intimacy, he lacked faith. His faith was small. It was there, don't get me wrong, just like your faith is there. I know you have faith. But is it small? Is it insufficient because you lack intimacy with Christ? Without intimacy, our faith is small and we tend to doubt. Intimacy comes in a majority of ways, but for today's sake, I'm going to look at two things. Intimacy comes with recognition. And in verse 33, they say, "Truly, you are the Son of God." And Peter says, "Jesus, if it's you, call me out on the water." And Jesus says, "Come." It's recognition. They recognize who Jesus is. Intimacy comes with recognition. But it's not enough because you guys all recognize who Christ is. But intimacy also comes with trust or faith that is fulfilled. You can recognize God all you want to, but until you step out of the boat, until you jump out in faith and in trust, there's no opportunity for God to fulfill your faith or trust because you're still in the boat. Make sense? When you get out of the boat, you recognize who He is, you know what you're going for, and then your faith and trust can be fulfilled. You see, Peter grew in intimacy that day because he recognized who Jesus was. He committed to trust him and have faith. He got out of the boat and he knew. He knew, knowing who Jesus is, that if something bad happened, Jesus would catch him. That's why he got out there in the first place. He wasn't scared because Jesus was there, just like Jesus wasn't scared because God was there. If you never jump out of the boat, you may recognize Christ all you want to, but your faith will never be tested, and then it can never be fulfilled. Intimacy grows when your faith is fulfilled because you see who Jesus is, and He's there for you. And it's an awesome feeling, and it's an awesome... It's the best intimacy I've ever known. Because I've had friends, and I have a wife, and I have intimacy in my wife and in my friends, but nothing goes this deep. Nothing human can go this deep, because it's as if your very soul has found its maker, and it's true. So many of you are still in the boat. Can't pretend in a group this size that we're all jumping out there for Jesus and doing our best to live for the kingdom. You know, we recognize who Christ is. We're coming to church, but we're still sitting in the boat. And for you, maybe it's time to trust. Try some intimacy with Christ. It's also important for you to remember that there will come times when you are afraid. Those times will come when you are afraid. As you jump out of the boat, it's scary. But don't let that fear control you. Courage is not the absence of fear, but the presence of action in the midst of it. Or to make it a little more personal, courage is not the absence of fear, but what you do when you are afraid. You can trust in Jesus. He'll catch you. But what about you who jumped out of the boat, are walking on the water, trusting in Jesus, living for the kingdom? You're out there, you've recognized who Christ is, and you've had faith, and you're walking on the water, and things are not what you thought they would be. You thought you could walk all the way to Jesus, and nothing bad would happen. The storm's getting rough, and you're afraid. Maybe it's time for you to realize the meaning and the context of a very special verse. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Philippians 4:13. Now this verse has nothing to do with you being able to do whatever you want. And this verse has nothing to do with sports. That I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me doesn't work if you quote it over and over again and believe it so hard and try and try and try, because I tried that and I still can't dunk a basketball. The verse doesn't work for dunking basketballs, and it has nothing to do with winning games. Nothing. The verse, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, is written in the context of Philippians, that wherever God calls you to be, whatever God calls you to do, you can do it, because God is your strength, and no one is stronger than God. Doesn't have anything to do with sports. I used to, when I went to Tacoma Falls College, they'd always have the banner flying, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. We lost most of our basketball games. And I always wondered, that verse has to mean something else. And then I read it. And what God calls you to do, you can do it. If God calls you to walk on water, you can walk on water. Because no one is stronger than God. So Jesus gets into the boat, and the storm is still, and they say, truly, you are the Son of God. They recognize, but it wasn't until much later in the disciples' life, many of them, that they really had their faith was truly tested. And it was tested, and they all came true, except for one, Judas Iscariot. Your faith will be tested here shortly, whether you get in the boat, out of the boat or not. But why not walk on the water and have that intimate relationship with Jesus? What else do you have to live for? When Tiffany and I got the call to ministry up here in Huntingdon, I was scared. I mean, I had to get out of my boat. My boat was an hour from my parents' house, Tocoa, Georgia. It was comfortable. I was working as a salesman. Sometimes I made good money, but the job was interesting. I was working as a youth band director at a church there. I worked out with the pastor every day of the week. I was comfortable. And Jesus called me, called us, to get out of the boat and walk on water to Pennsylvania. And I, like many of you, eager and willing, jumped right out and said, okay, let's do it. Packed everything up, quit my job, and moved up here. And then something happened. The waves got big. The wind got scary. And my American Christianity took a punch to the face. Because I believed, like many of you, that if you just follow Jesus, everything would be perfect. And that is not the case. In America, we tend to believe that if we just do what we're supposed to do, it'll all work out. But that definitely wasn't true for Job. And we don't have long in this country, as far as the way things are going, till that's not true for any of us. If you trust in Jesus, it will be hard. Jesus said, the world will hate you because they hated me. Trials will come to test your faith. And he has overcome the world. So we got here. It was difficult adjusting. Within 2 weeks, as I thought everything, you know, this is where we're supposed to be. People are going to get saved. This is where, you know, the Lord's going to move. And peace died. We named our daughter Peace because the Lord surrounded us with peace when we were in the hospital. You know, the first ultrasound I went to, I heard her heartbeat. The next time, there was no beat. It's a sobering feeling. And I began to sink. Jesus, how could you? How could you? I trusted you. I walked on the water and I'm sinking. I was afraid. Tiffany's health went downhill and I began to doubt. God, is this where you called me? I'm afraid. How am I supposed to trust a God who would take my child away? Who would take my wife's health away? And I began to sink. And I reached out my hand and I said, Jesus, save me. Save me. I recognized who he was. I trusted him. And Jesus, like he always does, he came through for his children. And he will come through for you. And he's coming through still every day. Walking on water is not all it's cracked up to be. But I didn't drown. My faith was fulfilled, and I grew in intimacy with Christ. And when I went to the conference in California, I found something awesome. I found that I had grown so much in intimacy with Christ that I would rather have the intimacy with Christ than have my children. Because nothing's more important than Jesus. Nothing is more important than Jesus. And it took that for me to see that if I wanted to be intimate with Christ, I had to trust him. I hope to God none of you lose things that are so important to you. But I also hope to God that if that's what it takes for you to be intimate, that he'll take them away. Because this relationship is important. I don't want to be like the rest of the people sitting in the boat. And I don't want to be the person hanging on the edge of the boat, too afraid to step out. I want to be in the middle of the ocean. I want to walk with Jesus on the water. He's my best friend. And he's there for you. Whatever you're going through, you can trust him. Recognize who he is. Place your trust in him and get out of that boat. There's a whole world out there. When my daughter died, I got a call from a good friend of mine. And he said, Matt, you know, when I heard what happened, I was a little uplifted. And I said, what? You were uplifted? And he goes, no, I was uplifted because I realized that of all the people I knew, you could go through this. He saw that I knew Jesus, and he knew Jesus would get me through. And it built my faith. What about your faith? What are you going to do? As the youth group comes up on the end of our youth Sunday to sing I Surrender All. Make sure you guys grab a hymnal, number 216. And as you stand with me to sing I Surrender All, this is my suggestion to you. If you want to have faith and you want to be intimate, surrender. Come on, guys.